FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 7/12/17. Well, there's lots of talk and very little action in the Congress about the so-called repeal of Obamacare. And you're starting to see where people really stand on the issue. And if you're waiting for the government to take care of you, to make sure your health stays where you want it to be, well, keep waiting because it ain't going to happen. And it's up to you to take responsibility for your health. And by the way, if you got an email for me, shoot it off to kl@kerrylutz.com. Right now, person I think who knows probably more than just about anyone I've spoken to about health, healthcare, self-healthcare, how you maintain it, and how you opt out of the system is with us now. I'm talking about Dr. Elena George. And Dr. George, you board certified otolaryngologist, and you're in the Atlanta area. We are thrilled to have you back on. It's been too long.
I know. Thank you for having me back on. It's a topic that I really am looking forward to discussing with you and your listeners.
Hey, well, so we're going through political theater here. It's a big charade. Mm-hmm. Nobody really wants to get rid of Obamacare, but they can't come out and say it. So it's always somebody else's fault, right?
Absolutely. But it's all about divide and conquer and keeping people distracted. But, you know, my mantra has always been follow the money. And if you realize that both sides are being supported by the same entities, nothing's ever going to change. And as long as we, you know, continue to play the game with them, they're just going to keep trying to snow us. I mean, this is not a repeal. It's not a replace. And in a blog that I wrote about a month ago, I said that I thought that it was a faster movement towards single payer. And the way this is unfolding, I absolutely am not changing my mind on that at all.
Yeah, I'm totally inclined to agree with you. It looks every day as we go along more and more inevitable that we're going to go to the Canadian system of single payer. And I was just talking to somebody from Canada recently. They needed an MRI. And they said, sure, we'll sign you up for one. And in 6 months to a year, you'll get your MRI. And is that what we really want in the United States?
No, we don't. But, you know, Kerry, I don't think this is like the Canadian system. It's not like the UK system. This is uniquely American. And this is going to be corporatized where the insurance companies, let me put it this way. It's like TARP, except it's being used the same game plan is used in medicine. So the government is going to take subsidies, your taxpayer dollar, your state taxpayer dollar, give that to the insurance companies with the mindset that they're magically going to, you know, lower their premiums and lower their co-pays and deductibles to help people out. Anybody who thinks that's really going to happen, I've got a bridge for you. It's never going to happen. It hasn't happened for the past 8 years. What they're going to do is take the money, keep the premiums high, deny you care, put you in a hospice, and tell your doctor if they want to be an advocate, then they're going to be out of business. That's how this is working. That's how it's worked for the past 8 years. Now they're going to have more fuel. They're literally putting the money behind exchanges, these risk corridors, all this nonsense, which is just, you know, bail-ins for the insurance company.
Yeah, exactly. So my question is, though, what do you do for these people who have pre-existing conditions? I mean, do we owe them health care?
About pre-existing conditions, because that's been the, you know, the boogeyman that's gotten everybody frightened. 5% of the people who carry insurance or have an illness in our country have a catastrophic illness. It's not a majority. And pre-existing means you have diabetes, you have high blood pressure, you have an underlying medical problem that is controlled, that you're treating with a medication. So you're not at death's door. That's everybody thinks it's cancer, it's kidney failure. No, it's really not most of the time. And what they've done is they've taken that 5% of the people and spread the cost of that 5% to everybody. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. I think they should put those folks on Medicare, put them in a separate risk pool, and cover them. It'd be a lot cheaper than making everybody pay exorbitant prices for community rating, for keeping their kid on the age 26, for having 14 different things that people don't need. All of those things are the real reason that insurance prices will never come down. But care, by definition, will be rationed because you can't afford to take care of folks when there's not enough money in the pot. Mm-hmm. And the insurance companies don't divvy it up. They keep it. They keep it for administrative costs. They keep it for, you know, advertising. They keep it for their CEOs and their board of directors, but they don't give it to the patients and they don't divvy it out to the patients. We've never seen that. It's not going to happen now.
Mm-hmm. Right. So this is just a big charade to make it look like they're really doing something when they're not doing anything.
Well, they're enriching their donors. These are the same folks who created Obamacare. Now they're going to get more money, just straight money, like a pipeline of money. Like I think it's $200 billion. That's what this pot's supposed to have. Mm-hmm. $8 trillion that's being, you know, subsidized by the state taxes. Mm-hmm. The taxpayer is paying for this. But I can assure you, you're not getting your value back. As a physician, we're seeing this on the front line where we've now been basically removed from patient care. We're either administrators, we've been, you know, put on this conveyor belt of algorithm-driven medicine, evidence-based medicine, so to speak, meaningful use where you have to ask ridiculous questions about how many guns do you have in your house and have you ever tried to hurt yourself and if your kid thinks he's a boy or a girl. We become social justice, you know.
Warriors.
Advocates. Yeah. I'm not a warrior at all.
No.
But in this, you know, we're being used as agents of the government to collect metadata, and it's against the Hippocratic Oath. Medicine is suffered because of it, and it's more expensive and you're getting less care. And for people, the Democrats should be crowing. They got everything they wanted. They're going to get their exchanges funded. They're going to get their, you know, subsidies to expand Medicaid, which is a disaster in itself. And people are not getting better care.
Right. So, and you've been a big advocate of self-empowerment, of basically,
absolutely,
yeah, of doing this on your own without the state and without insurance companies. What's going on that front? Is it getting easier to do this now or is it getting harder?
Yeah. No, it is actually getting easier because I think that there's been a critical mass of doctors now who are done. You know, we've done everything we can to play the system, to play within the game of the system, and it's hurting us. 400 doctors are committing suicide a year, including medical students. Mm. People are leaving the profession. We're having mid-levels take over the front line of care. I saw a commercial where you can not even go to a basic science undergrad training, and in 9 weeks, you can be a surgery tech. I mean, really, this is what's going on.
9 weeks.
On the front line. 9 weeks. And then you're in an OR. I love it.
Ridiculous.
Not in my world. That's not going to happen. But patients now can no longer sit on the sideline and hope for the best and hope that someone cares about them. Those days are gone. I don't think anybody who's really critically thinking now can possibly believe the government has their best interests at heart.
No way.
I mean, I stopped believing that ages ago, but I think the average patient now gets it. And they're looking for ways to make the system work better for them. And honestly, Carrie, if you use your insurance card, you are now getting a more expensive, a lower tier of care, and you're paying for the privilege of getting less. That's really what it's come down to. And if you really want to get value, you're going to talk with your physician, make a direct relationship, financial and medical relationship, so you can leave this system and go back to medicine the way it was designed to be practiced.
Yeah. And really, like, through technology and through these networks that have basically ad hoc networks that have kind of emerged, it's easier to do it than it's ever been before. There's so many sites you can go to for discount drugs, et cetera, right?
Absolutely. You can go to blinkhealth.com. You can go to GoodRx. I mean, these are online discount pharmacy. And I mean, we're talking about going to CVS or Rite Aid. You're not going to China to get these medications. They're all local in your community. You get 80% off generic and brand medication. So again, if you use your pocketbook to control your access to the system, it's cheaper than using your insurance card. And that's what people don't get. Having health insurance does not equal access to affordable quality health care. Not anymore. Now it's a barrier. Now it's a scheme to take your money and deny you care on both ends.
Yeah.
The doctors are hampered. You know, we're getting letters saying it's not medically necessary, it's experimental.
Right.
After we've jumped through every single hoop to get the pre-certification, they're pulling the rug at the end and we've got no recourse and the patient's on the hook. I can't in good conscience be in a system where I'm made to work against my patient. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And patients now have to come with us, with the doctors, and we need to tell everybody by our actions, withdraw your pocketbook, withdraw your consent, only thing these guys understand is being voted for and money. And if you don't vote for them and you take your money back, then they start to listen.
Isn't it amazing? So it all comes down to money in the end. And
always.
Yeah. Well, we know that, right? There's nothing new
under
the sun.
It's 1/6 of the economy.
Yes.
And Obamacare was never about health care. It was always about control. Mm-hmm. Control of your health care choices, your pocketbook. And I've written about this at length. I think this is a transfer of wealth from the middle class, the working class, to the government and to their cronies. The corporate interests that drive the medical system. It's not doctor and patient driven anymore. It's all about shooting you up, giving you a medication that you may not need, and treating a side effect of another medication and testing you out the wazoo. I mean, you're not better. I can see if people were better, but they're actually not.
Yeah. And that's supposed to be the purpose of medicine, is to cure disease, maladies that you might have, and to help you maintain your health or improve it, right? I mean, isn't that
exactly
why you went to medical school?
You know what? Keep you from getting sick. How about that?
Exactly. You know,
that should be the ultimate goal, is to put people in a position where they're able to, I mean, I think the body is self-healing if you get out of the way a lot of the times, but we don't even educate our patients about what you can do to not take a medicine, to not get sick. That's something that's kind of anathema in our profession at this point. And there's doctors like myself willing and able to actually work with the patient as an advocate so that you don't end up in this system, because it's not conducive to health or for yourself or your pocketbook at this point.
Totally not. And yeah, the whole purpose was supposed to be about the individual, right? And now what's it about? The individual comes last in this equation, the patient.
Oh, it's collectivism. It's all centralized. It's all somebody knows what's best for you. You're too stupid to figure it out for yourself. You know, if I were a legislator and I were on the up and up, I would leave Obamacare alone, because you can't unhook it. It's such an octopus. They created a perfect wrecking ball for our healthcare system. They really did. And people are now into getting freebies. So leave it alone. What I would do is empower the free market, and I would make price transparency a hallmark. Every medical entity in our country would have to list their prices online, but you could go and figure out how much it costs for a CT in your hospital versus your local independently owned radiology facility or your lab. And if people knew what the cost was, then they can make an informed decision, right?
Yeah.
I would make health savings accounts. I would unlock them from the insurance company so that you save your money. If you want to do holistic, if you want to go medical tourism, that's on you, because it's your money. You should do whatever you like with it, health related, that is. Yeah. And you should be able to pass it as wealth to your children or your spouse or your partner. That's your money. It should never be that the insurance company can deny your service and you can't even use your money to get what you want. That's ridiculous, don't you think?
I totally agree. I mean, it's insane. I just totally don't get the whole thing, but I do get it, because it's not really, they don't really care about what they're claiming to care about, right?
Not at all. And really, if you think that the government loves you, that the insurance companies love you and want to do the best for you, they want to make money and they want to stay in power. And that axis is working against us as doctors and patients. And they've been masterful at manipulating the meme of you have to have health insurance or you're going to die. Totally not true.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, at this point, if you have it, you actually may die. That's the sad part.
That is a really
sad sounds like a
commentary.
Really out there statement, I know, but I can tell you I've seen a lot of colleagues, parents and loved ones pass away, and I was shocked at the care they got, and they all had insurance, and it was just, I was shocked and appalled. I've never seen such poor medicine practiced.
Yeah, it's like something out of the medieval times, you know. It's just it's shocking. It's just so shocking and a little scary, but you do have options. I just want to
absolutely
mention one thing. I had some tests done, you know, for cholesterol, all that stuff, the usual lipid panel and liver and all that, enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to one of the standard testing places. I'm paying it out of my pocket, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully going to get a reimbursement, but who knows? And it was like $500. It was outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to any test, any time, that very same test was $100. Big difference there, you know? Big difference.
It's a huge difference. But they get away with it because there's no price transparency. And the hospital charge master master is completely different than the charge master in a private physician's office or an independent facility. They get to tack on facility fees that they make up. Mm-hmm. Remember, how many times have you ever gone to a hospital and asked for, how much is X? And they tell you, you have to have it done. Sounds like Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. You have to have it done before we can tell you what the price is. And then you get the price, you know, the itemized bill, and you're like, what's miscellaneous? What's in a, you know, what's a facility fee? And it's not small. It's a majority of the bill. And it's double dipping, you know. Let's look about this for, think about this for 1 second. You purchase a physician's office. All their equipment is already owned, paid for, but you get to charge a fee for the EKG machine and the x-ray machine every time you use it, up and above the actual procedure. That's ridiculous. It's owned. Why do you get to charge that multiple times?
Mm-hmm.
But no one's looking over their shoulder. And they're also tax exempt, which means they don't pay taxes in their community. But they're making out like bandits in terms of how much money they're charging. And they have a differential. If you're paying out of pocket, you pay different than someone with insurance. It is a wild west. And my main complaint about this healthcare reform is that it does nothing to lower the cost of healthcare. All it does is take taxpayer money to subsidize something that's completely broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So until we get back to markets, we're just not really going to get anywhere, are we?
No. We are propping up a system it's gouging people. It is making up the charges as it goes along. I mean, we're seeing this on the medication side for EpiPen that was $100 is now $600. You know,
what's that about?
Asthma medicine went from $20 to $200, and there's no one saying anything about that. Yeah. Why can't they do that?
Yeah, the EpiPen thing, you know, just total criminality here. And the head of the EpiPen company just happened to, her father just happened to be a senator, if I remember correctly, right?
Oh, how interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
So they have no shame up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's one standard for them, and everybody else has a different standard. They're exempt from the laws that they pass. This is not a monarchy. I can't believe people are not paying more attention to what they're doing. If it's not good enough for them, then it should, by all rights, not be good enough for anybody in this country.
Yeah, well, but of course, the laws that Congress passes often and more do not apply to Congress. And,
I know.
Right. So what do you do here? What do you do? Just give us the list again of actions that you could take right now to opt out of the system, Dr. George.
Well, number one, you need to know that there is no mandate. The president had an executive order very early on when he came into office that scrapped the mandate. So you're not going to be fined. You're not going to have to pay any outlay of money if you decide you don't want to carry insurance, which, thank God, because that frees a lot of people. Then you can go and direct relationship with direct primary care doctors. And that means you're paying monthly and you get to be seen multiple times per year. Everything on that monthly fee is covered. So if you need an EKG, blood work, seeing the doctor for a cold, flu, whatever, you're not paying any more money out of pocket. That's a huge thing. So it could be anywhere from $90, $60 for an individual to $125 for a family of four. That's reasonable for most people, as opposed to an ER where it's $600 probably just to walk in the door. You can join medical cost sharing. There's Liberty Health Share, there's Samaritan, MediShare. These are all Christian-based, independent cost-sharing models where you put your money in a pool and you cover each other's expenses. And it's a self-pay rate, which means it's a fraction of what your insurance company will charge you. You can do AFLAC, where you pick up a catastrophic policy for heart attack, for stroke, for anything that has to have you admitted into the hospital. And it's all covered with that one $30, $40 monthly fee, which is pretty good. And actually, personally, I carry Liberty Health Share and AFLAC, and I actually get paid. If anything, God forbid, happens, I will get paid $250,000 policy for any diagnosis that's covered under that plan, which gives you a lot of peace of mind. There's MediBid. There's a website you can bid for medical services. There's MedRetreat, where you can actually go out of the country or in the country and pay cash-based rates for surgeries, Surgery Center of Oklahoma. I mean, the list is endless. If you go to my website, drelenageorge.com, I have a lot of these links on the site that you can go and do your own due diligence. It's all about choice. Not everything works for everybody, and that's how the system should work.
Right. Yeah, there should be real choice here, not being stuck with the same old solutions that don't work and that'll drive you into the poorhouse. I mean,
exactly.
One benefit of Obamacare, if you can look at it that way, is part of the deal was they pretty much can't really go after the individual for excess health care costs with procedures, whatever. I mean, they can, but they're just not doing it. So the number of bankruptcies that were induced by out of control medical costs has declined substantially. But on the other hand, you know, you got this thing called balanced billing. And that means that if you're in the OR and a doctor who's not in your network, you know, takes your pulse and charges you $2,500, you're on the hook for that. And then they come after you. I mean, there's something really wrong with that.
Well, the problem is that doctor is a part of a hospital. And so the fee for what they're charging is out of bounds compared to someone in private practice. And I would counsel anybody to see, look at where your doctor, what kind of doctor you have. Is it an independent, freestanding doctor who's not on, you know, salaried by a hospital? Is that doctor in a small group? That's, again, independent. That's where you're going to get your cost savings. They're not charging the facility fees. They're not having a 10 times what the cost of something is. And I want to be really clear. It's not the doctor that's causing the cost of healthcare to go up. It's the hospital-based doctor. They don't have control of what they charge. And we've looked at how they're structured, all these billers, 17 administrators to doctor ratio in these hospitals. That's what you guys are paying for. It's not the doctor. We're only 7 cents of the healthcare dollar. The rest is the rest of this infrastructure that they're propping up and empowering with this supposed reform.
Oh my goodness.
So again, if you go back to the independent doctor and go to the ones that are listing their prices online, I list my prices online. You know exactly what it costs before you walk in my office. There's no hidden fee. And that's what patients need to start looking at. If patients pick that, it'll drive the market to catch up or lose business. If you want to just stick your head in the sand, you're going to get gouged. I can guarantee you.
Oh, we know that. I mean, how many of you out there has it happened to where, you know, I mean, even Medicare, where you used to pay very little, if anything. Now the costs are, if you don't have that Medigap policy, the costs are out of control. You're going to pay like 20%. And all of these so-called insurance policies, I don't really know what they are. I mean, the deductibles, the copays, all of that stuff is just totally out of control, out of control.
Oh, it's called cost shifting. And RAND Corporation ran a study on this, and they basically came up with the conclusion that if you make the patient pay more, you can lower their access, but you also lower their outcomes. And that's really what the bottom line is. It's about people getting better, and this system doesn't do that. People self-ration. They don't go to the doctor. They don't get the medication. They don't have the procedure done because they can't afford it. And who stands to gain from that? It's an insurance company collecting a premium but never paying out for a service. Yeah. That is a conflict of interest.
And it's wrong. I mean, it's criminality.
Absolutely. Ethically and morally, I agree with you.
It's just criminal, and it should never be allowed to occur. And yet, here we are, doctor. I mean, it's happening. So if you haven't started looking for solutions on your own, you really need to start doing it as soon as possible. Because if you don't, and God forbid you're in this situation, it could be ruinous. It really could.
Yeah, somebody will do it for you. And they're not going to have the same interests as you do. Their fiduciary responsibility will be to their facility or whoever's paying them. You know, follow the money. If you're not in control of the pocketbook, then you're at the mercy of whomever. That's what you really need to start thinking about. And when you actually control your flow of money, who it goes to, how much you're willing to spend, and basically knowing what the real cost of things are, that makes you absolutely empowered. And that's how you stay healthy. That's how you keep your being able to not eat cat food, you know, and actually, you know, work the system. And this, it is a system. You just have to know the game.
Yeah. And which system you want to be a part of, right? I mean, you know,
I withdrew my consent from this. This is against my Hippocratic Oath. I love what I do. I've always wanted to be a physician. I will fight to tooth and nail against anything that's going to step in the way of my doctor-patient relationship and make me an agent of something that I'm, you know, my every fiber of my being is about having the patient have freedom of choice. And if that means they don't want to do X or Y and we discuss it, then they're not going to do X and Y. I will not be made to make my patient do something against their will.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all about consent. This system does not have informed consent within it. They do things to you. They give you vaccines and you end up in the hospital. They don't even tell you what they're doing. If you have a living will, they can just abrogate it and put you on hospice and not even tell you. This is what the system is. You know, Watson's running this system. So it's not cost effective. You're now a cost center. If you have an issue and you're a senior, hey, you lived a good life. You should be happy and take one for the team.
Yeah,
this is the mentality we're talking about.
It's horrible. Hey, yeah, Watson in medicine. Watson, you know, from what I've heard, certain things it's really good at, like diagnostic. It's got every single form of skin cancer, mole, you know, precancerous mole in the database, and it's read every single treatise on the topic, and it can really do wonders. But in terms of telling you what to do, directing your healthcare decisions, it's not so good, is it?
Well, it's also going to do an economic assessment as well.
Right.
Is it worth it
for
the 1% that will have a benefit? Well, maybe that's the good of the many outweigh the need of the few, or the cost of it is not worth it, and you should be made comfortable. These are the systems that are being put in place, and I'm going to be honest, it's eugenics. It is, you know, palliative care. It's someone deciding your value, not you and not your family.
Your
That's
value.
The problem.
Your value and your usefulness to society, right?
I mean, absolutely. Just Google complete live system. What was it? A paper written by Ezekiel Emanuel, who was the architect of Obamacare. Read that and you'll understand.
Totally. You're 100% correct. It's this people playing God, right? I mean, it really comes down to that. So awful situation.
There's only one God, and it's not these people.
No, and you don't want them playing God with your life either. That's for sure.
No,
that's for sure. I mean, who is anybody to say? I think you got a right to come up with decide when you don't want to be treated anymore, but it has to be your decision, and you have to make it clearly without all these external pressures and society.
Absolutely.
You know,
I mean, even in California, they now have assisted suicide, and the assisted suicide rate since that law passed has gone up. And we're not talking about people with catastrophic illness, people with depression.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's become a slippery slope. And, you know, if you're getting paid as a physician by Medicare to talk about end of life decisions, but not whether the person should have a hip replacement, there's a problem.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. Well, Dr. George, it's always great having you on the show. Just to give us your website again so we can go look at those resources.
Sure. It's drelaina.com, or you can also listen to my show Medicine on Call. It's on iTunes and on America's Web Radio. And, you know, it's all about knowledge and power, and I'm all about being a resource for that. So I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell the truth.
Well, I want to thank you for educating us about the options that you have, the real options, not the ones that they tell you you have, but the options that really are available to you and require some work here. Look, taking responsibility for your life, for your health care is never an easy situation here. It's never easy. It requires work, right? But
it does.
But the benefits here, and in this case, the benefits are also avoiding what's going on, you know, avoiding the whole thing, avoiding the negative aspects of this, are way more important than just to be lazy about it and not do what you need to do to stay healthy or to get healthy.
No, it's rewarding. There's nothing more important than your health. If you don't care about it and if you don't take responsibility for it, you know, it's not a good situation at this point. The system is designed to work against us at this point as doctors and patients. Unless we really know how to weave our way through this, I think there's going to be more people, you know, either economically hurt, physically hurt, mentally hurt, and that's really a tragedy.
And it's unnecessary because you can
Agreed.
Do things, right? So you need to seize the moment, you need to take the initiative, and you need to understand that you're only as helpless as you allow yourself to be. And take the first step, go over to Dr. George's site and do it. I've been in medical care cost sharing, healthcare cost sharing now for 2 years, saved tens of thousands of dollars. And that's just the first step. There's so much more to do. Dr. George, always a pleasure having you on. Keep up the fight, and we will talk with you again real soon.
Okay. Have a great day.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.